Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News, where we've had a busy 24 hours. Yes, Kamala Harris has suspended her campaigning after one of her staffers tested positive for COVID. That's a big story roiling the campaign. Another thing roiling the campaign, the revelation by the New York Post that there may be emails suggesting that Joe Biden met with Hunter Biden's Burisma company officials. That is also trending, and we have some news of our own on that from Just the News I'm going to talk about. And then we have a really interesting story by Kerry Sheffield, our great TV host and our White House correspondent. She took a look at state by state, how are states recovering from the COVID outbreak? And she found a remarkable trend. Red is recovering, blue is in recession. Why is that? And we're going to talk about that in a second as well. And then a very special guest joining us from the left coast, the amazing, great actor, the Hollywood actor, Kirk Cameron is here to join us. You know Kirk from his role, iconic role, as Mike Seaver on the Growing Pains show years ago. That's where he made his name. He's been in movies. He's done so much work in the faith space. He's a deep, devout Christian. And he's here to talk about a special event that's coming up and a special movement in California about religious freedom. You're not going to want to miss this. This is an amazing thing. It's called Non-Essential. We're going to talk to him about what that means, where they came up with a name for it, what they're going to do. There's a big hint. I think 1,000 or 2,000 people are going to violate California's laws this weekend, or their rules, regulations, for not gathering in churches in an act of defiance to make the point that faith shouldn't be deemed non-essential. We're going to talk to Kirk about that and all the other things going on in the religious freedoms world today. And while we're at it, we might as well talk about social media freedom, because apparently we don't have a lot of it. Yes, Facebook and Twitter have been censoring the stories about Hunter Biden and his information in a clear and overt effort to politicize information that should be available to all Americans. Instead, they're censoring it. We live in 1984, George Orwell for sure now. We've got these oligarchs of the tech industry imposing their will, their thought, their restrictions on free speech in a country that was built to be free when it came to speech. So we're going to talk about all that, but first we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about three headlines on Just the News that I think are very important. I want you to take a look at them today. We mentioned the breaking news about Kamala Harris. We wish her and her staff well. But when we get back, we're going to take a look at some of the enterprise stories we've had on justthenews.com, important talkers that you can bring to the water cooler, the dinner table, the boardroom after you've heard them. But first, a word from our great sponsors and advertisers, the people who make this show possible. We love you. We thank you. And if you want to support this show, support their great products and services. You're going to hear about them right now. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and, of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. Remember, all those great people you just heard from Kansas City Steak and MyPillow are all the great people that are supporting us every day. Remember to buy their products. Remember to check out their websites. The special offers they're offering, Just the News fans, are crazy. I'm making use of them all the time. In fact, I think I got to buy some new steaks for the weekend, so I got to get my order in so they get here in time. But everything that those great advertisers do make this show possible, make the journalism of Just the News possible. And if you want to support us, please support them as well. We're so grateful for all they do for us. All right, to the headlines. Today, instead of doing a monologue, I wanted to just tell you a little bit about three stories that I think are so important on the Just the News site. It kind of shows the originality and enterprising nature of our reporters, people like Carrie Sheffield and Daniel Payne. We've got really great people, Susan Keating at the Pentagon, one of the great national security experts. You see them all the time on our site. And now, if you haven't checked it out, go to Real America's Voice. That's a brand new cable and over the top digital direct news channel that we're partnered with. You can get it on channel 219 on Dish Network and channel 240 on the Pluto system. Pluto is really cool. It's for cable cutters. People don't have cable TV. They can watch free programming on this incredible platform known as Pluto. We're channel 240 there, Real America's Voice, our partner. We have three shows a day. Carrie Sheffield at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 4 in the afternoon, the one and only Dave Brody with the water cooler. And soon to start, I think as early as next week, we're going to have a new show with Eric Greitens, the former Navy SEAL, former governor of Missouri, called Actionable Intelligence. We can't wait to get this new show on air. You're going to love it. Eric is a rising star for television. He's already been a star in politics and in his service to his country. You're going to want to watch his show. It's great. So right now, many ways you can watch it. You can go to justthenews.com, click on the TV tab, and there's a live player of Real America's Voice right now. You can go see that. You can go to channel 219. If you're a Dish Network subscriber, you can go to channel 240 on Pluto. That's a great way to get it. I love watching Pluto. I didn't know about it until about a year ago. Now Viacom's built it. It's a $500 million company. Very impressive platform. Gives you internet-based television just like it was a cable box. I love it. Go to channel 240. You can get Real America's Voice that way. And then the third way you can get it, you can go to your Apple Store, your App Store there, or your Google App Store and download the America's Voice app. It's a great app. It's simple, easy to use. You can watch our programs all day long. So four ways really to watch on Dish, on Pluto, on your app and phone. And of course, you can always go to justthenews.com, click on the TV tab. Yes, we're in the TV business. Now, how cool is that? Well, you go right there. You can see it. And we've got the great programs. Carrie Sheffield at 9. If you miss it, you can catch the episode later on that TV tab. And then David Brody at 4. If you miss it, you can catch it on the TV tab afterwards. And soon to come, Eric Greitens and his new show, Actionable Intelligence, could be launching as early as next week. Pretty cool. That's it. All right. So let's talk about the headlines, because I love this first story because it shows the enterprising nature of Carrie Sheffield and all the good work she does. She took a look at the COVID recovery. You know, we're at about 8.8 unemployment. But how does that split out? That's 7.9% unemployment now. It was 8.4 back in August. It went down to 7.9 in September. So it's been going down, down, down. That's good news. But how does it play out state by state? And here's what she found. This is a remarkable thing. She took a look, and the unemployment rate in red states, those run by Republican governors, was 6.6% at the end of September. And those run by Democrats, you know, places like California with Gavin Newsom, New York with Mario Cuomo's son, Andrew Cuomo, New Jersey, Connecticut, you can go, you know, all the blue states, Michigan with Gretchen Whitmer. Their unemployment rate was not 6.6, not 7.6, not 8.6. How about 10.5%. So there really is a tale of two economies in America, one that's coming back quicker, run by Republicans, one that's lagging behind and suffering with large business closures and layoffs, and that's in the blue states. Check this story out. I think it's a really great story. She did a lot of work on the data and the analysis, got great voices talking about it. I think she talked about it on her show as well today. Her show is called Just the News AM with Kerry Sheffield, on at 9 a.m. on the Real America's Voice Network, on our website, on your apps, in Pluto, all the places we just talked about. All right, so that is Kerry Sheffield's great story. Very, very proud of it. I think you'll enjoy it as well. Now, there's another good story, and that's by my good colleague, Daniel Payne, who does such amazing work. He's really focused on some big issues. He's been our main reporter on COVID-19 and some of the alarmism that isn't supported by the facts. He's also done a lot of great work on ballot fraud and election fraud and all the concerns we have there. And he has a really interesting story this morning. The headline is, Key Battleground States Don't Require Signature Matching on Mail-In Ballots. So that's important. So in these important states, they don't have to match and make sure that the person who says they sent in the ballot is the person that filled out the registration form and is therefore legally allowed to file that ballot. There are five states that are super competitive, right? They're going to probably determine this race: North Carolina, Iowa, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire. None of them, Daniel reports, require signature matching for mailed voting forms. In other words, there's no check and balance. So if you're concerned about voter fraud, if you're concerned in the states, this is a place where there's a dual system. There are some states that require matching, some don't. These are five very important states that very well could tip the election, and they are not matching signatures with the ballots, meaning someone could pull off fraud and they wouldn't get caught because there's no check and balance. So great, great piece by Daniel Payne. Check it out if you get the chance. It's on our site, justthenews.com. Very important story. We think it's an important story too. Now, I got two more quick ones and then we're going to go to commercial break. And when we come back, yes, Kirk Cameron, the great actor, the great activist, the great man of faith, here to talk about his movement against non-essential. Why does he say that? California, he says, doesn't consider faith essential. He disagrees, and he's going to tell you why and what he's doing about it when we come up after the commercial break. But first, a couple more quick stories. I know a lot of the folks that listen to this podcast who read Just the News have been interested in accountability as it relates to Russia and Ukraine, the Joe Biden scandals. Well, there is a development on that. You all know by now the New York Post story, the claim of those emails. The possibility that, contrary to what he told us, Joe Biden may have met with Burisma officials, Hunter Biden's company, in April of 2015. Well, after that story came out, we tried to do some original reporting because we've done a lot of lawsuits. We've sued the State Department for documents, and we keep getting them. And here's what we found. There's the man who is alleged to have met with Joe Biden in April 2015 at Hunter's insistence, who worked for Ukraine sort of as their COO or their public relations guy. His name is Vadim Pazarsky. And so we did a check, this Vadim Pazarsky. So if he met with Vice President Joe Biden, as the New York Post alleges, could he have also met with other Obama state officials? And sure as heck, we went through our FOIA documents, and what did we find out? Vadim Pazarchik met in 2016 with the Foreign Aid Agency of the State Department, the Obama State Department, known as USAID. That's the people that give all the money away. And he pitched the company in an effort, according to these emails, to secure future business. They wanted to expand their partnerships with USAID. What is remarkable? All right, well, company in Ukraine wants to do business with the U.S. government. What's remarkable? Why is there a scandal about them meeting? Because at the very moment this meeting occurred, the State Department had reported Burisma for many years as being corrupt, but they had reported that they had paid one bribe to Ukrainian prosecutors in 2015, this after Hunter Biden joined the board. And then they would report in December 2016, right after this meeting, a second bribe alleged. And yet, despite the State Department's egregious concerns that this company, Burisma Holdings, employing Hunter Biden as a board member, was corrupt, they agreed to have a meeting with him and talk about future partnership, future business. We have photos where they're meeting with the USAID. You can check them out on the story. You can see them meeting with the ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch, at the time Obama's ambassador, but later Trump's ambassador. He fired her, but She sort of became a controversy during the Ukraine scandal. But throughout this entire process, there's a great question. If the State Department really believed Burisma and his executives were corrupt, why in the world would they give them an audience? First, allegedly to Vice President Joe Biden, and then to USAID and the State Department. These documents confirm it. In fact, there was a section, a briefing memo for Yovanovitch, where they put this information in, and it was under the headline, Watch Out For. It was a warning section of the memo. Hey, these guys want to be doing business with USAID. Don't meet with them. Right after Vadim Pozharsky met with the USAID State Department officials, a lawyer for Burisma got a one-on-one meeting with the ambassador, Ambassador Yovanovitch, in December 8th of 2016. This is, again, remarkable. The State Department considers this company corrupt, and yet they keep giving them audiences. I think the likely answer is because Hunter Biden, the Joe Vice President's son, was on the board. We see the name mentioned often in the memos. The State Department was worried about that. But why are they meeting with a corrupt company? If they were so worried about it, why did they send a mixed message by meeting? And in this meeting, obviously, Blue Star Strategies, the firm representing Burisma, was making a pitch for the State Department to help them settle all the corruption investigations against Burisma. So pretty unusual treatment for a company that we would normally consider corrupt, and the State Department wanted nothing to do with, and yet they're meeting with them. First to talk about business, second to talk about their investigations. Very odd, and really suggests that there may have been some special treatment just because Hunter Biden, the vice president's son, was on that company's board. So check that story out at justthenews.com. The headline is, Burisma official reportedly linked to Joe Biden also met with state officials in 2016 memo show. You can rest assured the story's true. How can you? I put all the memos up in the dig-in tab. You click on it, you know right away. You can read the memos yourself. The State Department gave me these under a FOIA lawsuit, so they are authentic State Department documents. You can read them yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. They're sitting in the dig-in tab as you read the story. I hope you enjoy that. All right, finally, I get this question often, and I always have a disappointing answer. Is there accountability still going on in the Russia scandal? Are we going to see the level of accountability that many of you believe should have been meted out? And the answer is, I don't think so. Not if you take the case of Bruce Orr as an example. So Bruce Orr, if you remember, was that senior Justice Department official who was friends with Christopher Steele, was a conduit for information with Christopher Steele. And when Steele got fired by the FBI, or terminated, as they call it, because he had been leaking in violation of being a confidential human source, Orr kept funneling information from Steele through the back door to the FBI. And he did so at a time when his wife was also working for the same firm as Steele, which raises questions about a conflict of interest or concern. Well, Bruce Orr yesterday was allowed to retire without penalty, right after he found out that disciplinary action was imminent in his case. His conduct, possible conflict of interest, inappropriate crossover in his responsibilities at the Justice Department, that was being looked at. And the Justice Department admits he was allowed to retire before this disciplinary action could come down on him. If that feels like accountability to you, holler. If it doesn't, holler louder. There's something that, once again, reinforces what I think a lot of people see in America. Two departments of justice, one for everyday Americans and Donald Trump and Mike Flynn and all those, and another for the insiders in the department and the FBI called the Department of Justice, where they get lighter treatment, disparate treatment compared to everyday Americans. I know now why Americans have that frustration, because we keep getting examples like this. Well, you can check that out as well. The headline on that story, Bruce Orr retires from DOJ after informed disciplinary decision was imminent on Russia case. Check it out. I wrote that one. All the others were written by the great reporters I mentioned. All right, enough with the news. You can go to justthenews.com, get your news fixed whenever you want. We're going to that commercial break, and when we come back, the one, the only, Kirk Cameron joins us from Hollywood to talk us about a very important movement in the religious liberty front in California. It's called Non-Essential. Buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be a fun interview. We'll be right back. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest joining us from California, the one, the only, Kirk Cameron. Yes, you've seen him in all of those great shows. Growing Pains is where we all remember him as Mike Seaver. But he's done so much since then, and we're so blessed to have him here on the show today to talk about something he's doing this weekend called Non-Essential. Kirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Great to be talking with you. I appreciate you, and it's just really exciting for me to be on the podcast.
Well, same here. And you're doing something really big this weekend called Non-Essential, and it's a big statement by a large number of people standing up for religious freedom in California against a state that has deemed, I guess, faith non-essential. So tell us a little bit what you're up to.
We're calling this big event non-essential as a play on words. As you just mentioned, I live in California, and it's shocking to many of us to see the similarities to socialism and the government's edicts that are coming down in the name of safety that are slowly but surely stripping us of freedoms that we would never have otherwise given up. So here in California, you still can't go to church. You can't go inside a restaurant and all of the gyms are closed, while abortion clinics and weed shops and liquor stores are all open. Riots are happening. Violence is going on everywhere, supported by the governor. And you start to realize that, wow, everything that guys and girls like you and me value and hold as precious and sacred as Christians and as Americans is being deemed non-essential, from the lives of the unborn to being able to go to church, to be able to freely protest outside our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights, and many in government would love to make these things non-existent. And this is an event where some of the smartest people I know have come together to say, we are essential, you are essential. And it's essential that we wake up, that we stand up, and that we vote. And these people are Dinesh D'Souza, Charlie Kirk, Sissy Graham, myself, and others. And we have a very important event that's going to be broadcast on Facebook this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. here in California. And it's going to be an incredible event that nobody is going to want to miss. We'll be led in worship by Danny Gokey, and we're going to be 2,500 people inside a church in California going against the governor's edict. And we are doing this because gathering as the body is essential.
Well, that's a big number of people. I bet you California governor is not going to be too happy, is he? Gavin Newsom's going to...
Well, the people in this church have been gathering every single Sunday.
That's right.
As well as several other churches, but they're taking a hit for it.
Right.
And again, I think we're buying a lie as Americans, and we need to wake up and understand what's actually at stake before it's too late.
It is a remarkable thing to think that we live in an era where people are told they can't go to church, they can't worship, but they can go to Walmart in the same numbers. Yeah. Now, when you have this event, will you have precautions? Will you do social distancing? What sort of things will you do to make sure that people are safe? I'm sure you have some plan for that, right?
So people are, yes. And I'm not organizing the event per se. So
right,
there's going to be a lot of people there. But this is a church where The pastor of the church is trusting people to do what's best for themselves, their family, and their health care.
Wow.
And so if you want to wear a mask, you're welcome to wear a mask. If you want to social distance, you're welcome to. But if you're afraid of those who are not wearing a mask, don't come.
Right.
You're welcome to stay at home. And that traditionally has always been how we've handled viruses and disease.
Yep.
Is you
That's
quarantine
been the traditional
the sick,
way.
Not the healthy. You quarantine the sick, not the healthy.
Right.
But this has gone completely overboard. I mean, and these are draconian measures on steroids, which you can't help but question the legitimacy of what so many are doing, especially here in California, when you see the narrative break down as rioters and protesters burn cities and defund police, endangering people with no masks and no social distancing. But that's okay. And there's other places where you go and you're far more contact with people than you ever would be inside of a church. So this event is going to be an event where precautions are taken, but no one's going to be mandating and telling people how they need to take care of their health or whether or not they should or shouldn't come to the event.
Wow.
We're trusting that people are going to do what's best for them and their families, and come if you want to worship, come if you want to be informed, and come if you want to be inspired and motivated to turn our culture around.
That is, that's going to be a big thing. And when you look out, you'll have 2,500 people inside the building, perhaps, but your goal is to weave together, as you did with the earlier event of Hope Rising, maybe hundreds of thousands or millions more in support of this around the country. Is that right?
Yeah, that's why we're coming together and we're broadcasting on Facebook. Actually, the best way to get connected with the event, to watch and participate, is to go to nonessential.live, and that will get you to where you need to go, nonessential.live. You can RSVP there. But yes, we did a similar event in April during the middle of the quarantine where over 19 million people watched.
Wow.
It was an event called Hope Rising. And it was a coming together of Christian singers and artists and speakers and pastors and other influencers. And if we have a similar result and get tens of millions of people watching, we are confident that this could be a game changer. It could be the very thing needed to wake up a sleeping church. Do you know that we had 40 million registered Christian voters who did not vote in 2016.
It's amazing to think, isn't it?
That's just not an option this year. We can make all the difference as the family of faith if we will wake up and stand up and participate. That's what we need to do.
Well, it's an amazing number. I hear that number. I've heard Ralph Reed say that number, David Lane, a lot of the great organizers, and you just can't imagine there's that many people with faith that haven't exercised the greatest right that the Constitution gives us here, and that is to vote. So what a remarkable thing to highlight two weeks out from Election Day, or 2 weeks and 2 days out from Election Day. Now, the we're going to carry this on our news site. We want people to see this event. So at justthenews.com and all of our social platforms will be broadcasting this. And so people can watch this remarkable news event. For us, it's an amazing news event. Who else are some of the partners? Who are other people that are coming together to ensure that people can participate, even if they're in Montana or Connecticut or Florida or Wisconsin?
Yes.
Who else is getting involved in it?
So the people who will be on the stage are just a powerhouse lineup. Dinesh D'Souza, the incredible author and documentarian. Also, Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA
sure.
will be with us. Sissy Graham Lynch, this is Billy Graham's granddaughter.
Right.
Let's see, Pastor Rob McCoy and Pastor Jack Hibbs, whose churches are open and they're doing incredible things. God is using their ministry in the midst of this crisis, and they're seeing thousands of new believers baptized, even when their ministries have been deemed non-essential by the governor. So they're going to be talking with us. We have a frontline doctor who's going to be talking with us about the reality of the coronavirus and how it's possible to make the cure worse than the disease, which in fact is what's been happening in our country. So they're going to be those who are going to help sort of get us out from under this web of fear that's paralyzing many of us and get us on the offense and understanding what we can do to keep America from collectively stepping off the cliff into the abyss of socialism and spiritual and moral decline, and get back into the path that leads to blessing and life.
It's a remarkable thing that we this year, 2020, really has been the flashpoint for religious liberty in ways that we haven't seen. We've covered lots of stories, all the Thomas More lawsuits with Jenna Ellis and all the great lawyers who've been going to the defense of people like Rob McCoy. We just had a big victory here in Washington, D.C. for religious liberties, where the Capitol Hill Baptist Church was told they were allowed to worship, and Mayor Bowser here in D.C. was overruled for her ban on church gatherings. So all across the country, there's these lawsuits, there's this discussion going on. What do you think is at the root of this? What caused this moment? I mean, obviously there's the fear and panic of COVID-19, but it seems larger than a disease. And I wonder if you've done a lot of thought, and obviously you're inspired to do such a big event to speak out. What do you think has this been a moment that's been approaching us for some time quietly, and it snuck up on us? But how did we get to be so anti-faith in America? It seems as though governments don't put it as a priority, even in a moment when faith would help us get through such a tough time as COVID.
Well, you know, I'm trying to be a student of history, because history allows us to look back and see what happens when certain choices are made. And we need to do that here in America, because we don't know what, a real persecuted church looked like in America yet. Thank God we don't. But it's coming if we don't respond differently than we have in the past. So government is essentially power, right? Civil government is essentially the power to enforce, to make laws, to determine whether people are innocent or guilty of breaking those laws, and then punishing people by enforcing those laws. And power is always seeking more and more power, and those who wield that power want more and more of it. Well, for people like you and me, we have an ultimate authority and power, and that's the power of God. And the way God brings heaven to earth is by sending his power to work through the hearts of his people. And so governments, historically, the stronger and more powerful they get, become more and more of an enemy of the faith, because people have an allegiance to God that supersedes their allegiance to civil government. And we live in a country that actually based our constitution on that idea that our rights are not given to us by the government, they're given to us by God, and government put in place to protect those rights. So when government starts to usurp the power of God and starts to sit in the seat of the ultimate authority, they don't want the faith, they don't want the church to get in the way. And that's when you start to see churches persecuted. They're destroyed. Ultimately, you get into socialism. Inevitably, historically, it leads to a totalitarian power that will destroy the church, or at the very least, silence the church and the faith and marginalize it so that it's useless. It's powerless. And I think that's where we're headed, because the heart of man is in desperate need of a transformation, and that only comes through the power of God. And that's why we want to wake up the church. We want the church to wake up, and for people to live out their faith, to think God's thoughts, and to act in the way that Jesus would act. And we have the privilege of doing that through choosing our leaders and governing ourselves and our families. And that's the moment that we find ourselves in right now, a real critical moment.
I love your personal story, and I've known it for years. When did you realize that you were called to be something bigger than just an actor or a business person or a husband? I mean, you've done an awful lot in the faith space and the public policy space over the last 10, 15 years. And I'm curious, when did that moment happen when you realized your faith was your calling in the public square, not just in your own private life? Because there must have been eight or probably many transformational moments. But what were those moments that led you to step forward and say, I'm going to bring faith in the public square and use my celebrity to help people embrace faith and grow in God?
Yeah. Well, I started growing pains when I was 14 years old, when I played Mike Seaver on that show. And when I was 17 years old, God gave me the gift of faith in the gospel. And so I don't even look at this as my faith. I look at it as faith that God has given me and opened my eyes. And that sent me, it changed the trajectory of my goals. I wanted to live a life that was going to honor God, that would say thank you for the blessings that he's given me. And I didn't really ever decide to use my faith in the public square per se, or to wield celebrity for the sake of advancing a message. I just felt when I read the Bible that God wants me to not divorce my faith from the rest of my life. So if I'm working on a TV show or a movie, I'm not to divorce my faith and somehow leave it at the church when I decide what kind of roles I want to play. That doesn't mean I won't play a bad guy in a movie, be in a movie that's not a faith-based movie. But it does mean that I want to be a part of messages and projects and surround myself with people who are going to advance the cause of good, who are going to advance the kingdom. And, you know, he put that faith in my heart. He gave me a song of hope. And everything in my life is now determined and defined by that faith and that hope. And I know that that's how heaven comes to earth, God working through the hearts of his people.
It's a remarkable moment. And you were an atheist earlier in life, right? You didn't believe in God. When you started on Growing Pains, you didn't even have a relationship with God, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. We didn't go to church growing up as kids. My mom had a faith in the Lord, but we never went to church. And it wasn't until I was about 17 years old, right in the middle of the TV show Growing Pains, that someone invited me to church. And that's when I heard the gospel message for the first time and started asking questions. One thing led to another, and the Lord saved me.
That's an amazing moment. And then you found love. I think you found love on set, right? Didn't you? You met your wife, Chelsea, I think, on set. Isn't that right?
That's right. So Chelsea, my wife, actually played my girlfriend on Growing Pains.
That's what I thought.
So I like to say that I married Mike Seaver's girlfriend. And we've been married now for 29 years. We have 6 children. Most of them are grown now, and
right.
Two of them are married. So entering a really wonderful season of our life.
Absolutely. You could be grandparents soon, huh?
We could.
Yes, yep. That's exciting. We've heard this week that in the nomination hearing of Judge Barrett, the story of her own adoption, but you adopted 4 children yourself. What inspired you to do that, and what was that experience like?
Well, Chelsea and I had been married for several years before we started a family, and as we discussed it, we talked about the possibility of adoption. I guess one of the main motivators of that is that my wife Chelsea is an adopted child herself.
Really, I didn't know that.
And so is her brother. And so is her brother. So, as we thought about pulling a family together, we knew that there were kids who really needed a mom and a dad, and we wanted to be parents. And so we said, let's adopt our first child. And so we did, and that was a great experience. And so we adopted 4 children, 4 years in a row.
Wow. God bless
and
you.
Then had 2 natural born kids after those 4. And so we got a total of 6. And sometimes I forget who's adopted and who's not.
That's the way it's meant to be too, isn't it? Everything just feels, yeah. It just feels like one big happy family. That's an amazing gift, an amazing story. As you look out at 2020 in America and Hollywood and culture, one of the big things that seems to be a dominant theme, much like religious freedom being infringed, is the cancel culture movement. If you don't agree with a certain cool, current, trending belief in America, whatever Hollywood or big government tells you to think, you're canceled in some way. And I wonder if, as you look out... Yeah, in the last 24 hours, we've had real stories being censored on Twitter and Facebook. How worried are you about this movement, and what do you think we can do as a country to fight it without, you know, and you know, without fighting each other all the time, right? We always seem to be battling each other, but there's so many things that we should agree on, and how do we fight this cancel culture that if you don't agree with me, I cancel you? How do we beat that?
Yeah, that's terrible, right? I mean, that sounds like KGB stuff. That right. sounds like communist China stuff, where, right. you know, if we don't like what you're saying, we cancel you. Well, you know, I fear that it'll get worse than that. If government goes in a particular direction, they don't just cancel you, they incarcerate you, yeah. right? When you say the wrong things. Well, there goes our freedom of speech, and we can see us heading that direction right now. That should deeply concern all of us, if not for ourselves, for our children and for our grandchildren. We need to, you know, most of us have never even read the Constitution, let alone really understand it enough to be able to defend it and fight for our liberties. And this cancel culture thing should be a great big wake-up call. We get canceled by our friends now. We get canceled by our own family members now.
Wow.
If we talk about, you know, supporting the wrong candidate
right.
or the wrong idea. And I think that's so very, very dangerous. We need to get back to mutual love and respect for one another, especially within the church, and understand that we can learn from one another. But it's very difficult right now because of the hatred that's being inflamed and amplified, and the name calling, and all of this stuff is really awful. And so we need to get on our knees, I think. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to pray, and we need to get out of this cancel culture and have respectful conversations. Got to get back to that.
It is. It wasn't that far ago that we did it. And it seems like the last 10, 12, 15 years, it's been slipping away from us. I had an uncle I was very close to growing up. He was a World War II hero, Purple Heart winner, an amazing man. And one of the last interactions I had with him before he passed, and this would have been in early 2000s, I guess it was, he said to me, and I have never forgotten, he said, you know what, I said, you know, he wasn't feeling well, and it was new. He knew his time was coming to go home to Jesus. And he said, I asked him, you know, when you leave behind this earth that you fought so hard for freedom in America, he was such a great hero, you know, what big thing do you worry about most? And this was 20 years ago. And he said, I worry that the we in America is eroding, and it's becoming an us and them in America. And that's not the America I fought and shed my blood on the battlefield for. And I think I look back 20 years later, how brilliant he was to see this division and divisiveness coming. And sometimes we need to reconnect with all of the great people in our country, rather than take down the statues of great heroes in our country, celebrate the freedom and the courage and the us, we mentality that they celebrated for America.
Right.
You're doing a lot of that in your movie projects and in events like this that you're doing on the weekend. How many more people are there like you in Hollywood and in the entertainment influence industries that are there who want to step forward and return America back to those great moments where we appreciated each other, even, and we could agree to disagree without canceling each other?
Yeah. Well, I'm encouraged because I see more and more people making movies that have the kind of values that you and I are talking about.
Right.
The Kendrick brothers have been at the forefront of that. The Irwin brothers have been at the forefront of that. And I'm working with more and more people in the documentary world, the film world, the TV world. And, you know, Hollywood is just one sector of culture, but it's a
That's
powerful
right.
sector of culture. People watch movies, they listen to music. The entertainment industry is very powerful in shaping worldviews, especially with young people. So I'm thankful for those Christians who are moving into this space rather than running away from Hollywood, because we need you as the new directors and writers and filmmakers. So I'm excited to see that, and I'm seeing more and more.
And when you look out, last question, because I know you got an event to get back to and get ready for, but as you look out and you've got this big event this weekend, you've done a couple other events, what are the next big things you're planning to do in your life, in your career, in your family, in the public space? Do you have any big ambitions that are not on the bucket list, but on the must-do list?
Yeah. great question. You know, my wife and I were talking yesterday. We were just kind of winding down the day, and she was talking about how important it is not just to have a to-do list, you know, a bucket list of things I got to do this and that and this and that in my life or this week or this month. She said, even more than a to-do list is a to-be list. Let's make sure that we check every one of the things on the to-be list. I need to be faithful to God. I need to really be the real deal, not just some kind of a celebrity Christian. I need to be a patient person. I need to be more others-focused than I am self-focused. That's really what I'm thinking about, John, is I want to be the kind of person that God called me to be, that Jesus died for me to be, that my children need for me to be. And if I can be that kind of a person, I think God will give me the time to do the things that he has for me to do. And this non-essential event is certainly at the top of my list right now.
Sure.
I want to continue to do culture shaping events. But more than anything, I want to be a good husband, a faithful father, and a bold and committed Christian.
Yeah, those are great goals that we should first and foremost aspire to every day, because it makes the world better from the inside of our homes outward. And I think people who have watched you grow up on TV, watch you over the last 25 years, I think they'll probably affirm, I certainly affirm, that you've become that person that we all aspire to be. We're all flawed in our own ways, but you set an example through your goodness and your peace and your own family that I think speaks to millions of people silently every day. And we want to thank you for being that person and inspiring us all to be better people as well, Kirk. You are a true inspiration.
Oh,
there's no doubt about it.
Well, brother, you have the gift of encouragement. You have no idea how much I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And I so appreciate you and this podcast and all the guests that you have on and all the good information that you're sharing with us. Please keep up the great work.
We will. It's a fun job. I go to work every day and I just am so blessed to be here and to work in this moment in our country's history to inform and let other wiser people lead.
Yeah.
But informing is an important part, and it's been a great time. All right, folks, this weekend, you're going to be able to watch this amazing event, Non-Essential, online. We're going to air it on our website, on all of our social platforms. We want you to witness this incredible news event, this amazing faith event, this amazing uprising of people saying that faith does matter. It is not non-essential. It is essential. And Kirk, we thank you for the time today. We'll be watching you over the weekend and hope to get you back on the podcast soon.
I'd love it. Thanks so much, John.
All right, folks, we'll be back in a few seconds to wrap things up. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back. That wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. We're so grateful for Kirk Cameron for spending the time with us this weekend. Remember, if you want to go see the event this weekend, Non-Essential, we're going to have it live on justthenews.com. We're going to have it on all of our social platforms. You can watch this act of civil disobedience, or as we might call it, an act of faith. People going to California to a church to worship in a violation of the state's edict that there not be essential religious services right now. So check that out. That'll be on Sunday night. We'll be back next week with a whole new suite of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. Until then, have a safe and healthy weekend. And remember, if you're hungry this weekend, get yourself some of those Kansas City steaks using the Just News promo code. You get 10% off plus free shipping. I'm doing that right now because I'm hungry for a steak. All right, folks, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. God bless. Until then, check out justthenews.com whenever you have a chance. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.